Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Now we're feeling what not having hope feels like. You know, hope is necessary. It's a necessary concept.
How's
and
the
Barack
surf,
didn't
Michelle?
Just talk about hope because he thought it was just a nice slogan to get votes.
No.
I mean,
no.
He and I and so many believe that if you... Mm. What else do you have if you don't have hope?
Yeah.
What do you give
you
your kids if you can't give them hope?
I'm not in a good mood at all. I'm in a terrible mood. Okay, we know she's a phony. We know she's a woman who's debased the... Let's leave it at that. America's entering a time of hopelessness while her husband is seen surfing in Hawaii. And they're on another vacation costing millions of dollars. There he is. Obama to Hawaii for holiday vacation. There he is in the surf on a boogie board. Oh, will travel. I'm sorry. Pardon me, Michelle. I got it wrong. Will travel on Friday. Oh, well, maybe they're there already. It says will travel on Friday. Golf, parties with friends, dinners out. Greet Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe at Pearl Harbor. And, the drone. Maybe you can look into the missing drone. Did you hear about that story? A week and a half after Trump made a faux pas, a diplomatic, disastrous faux pas, in my opinion, driven by a number of forces which I've described, of embarrassing China internationally, publicly, unnecessarily, China seized our underwater U.S. drone. And the boys and girls aboard our ship are asking for it back. They took time out from diversity training and recognized that there was a drone missing. Now, the Secretary of the Navy, who's never driven a Chris craft across Lake Superior, so far as I know, has not been heard from yet. But the drone was picked up by the Chinese Navy in a little boat, no less. They could have blown it out of the water. Yeah, there's a little story there. The U.S. Navy ship Bowditch... they call it an oceanographic vessel, okay? It was a spy vessel in international waters in the South China Sea. And it happened yesterday, northwest of Subic Bay off the Philippines, as the survey ship USNS Bowditch was about to retrieve the unmanned underwater vehicle. It's a spy drone. The official took time out from diversity training and said, the UUV was lawfully conducting a military survey in the waters off of the South China Sea. And he continued, the diversity officer, who said, it's a sovereign immune vessel, clearly marked in English, not to be removed from the water. Oh, that it was U.S. property. U.S. naval personnel, in the midst of their diversity training, got no response from the Chinese on the radio when they announced that the drone was American property. A U.S. defense official told CNN. The Chinese later said on the radio that they were returning to their own operations. No, they're going to say something about it, right? The Chinese action heightened U.S. concerns about the country's aggressive actions in the disputed South China Sea, including its militarization of maritime outposts. The drone was part of an unclassified program to collect oceanographic data. Oh, really? Including salinity, temperature, clarity. Yeah, they were doing global warming research. I get it. The U.S. issued a formal protest through diplomatic channels and included a demand that China immediately return the drone. The Chinese have acknowledged receiving the protest but have not responded to it. The Bowditch had stopped to pick up the two underwater drones. A Chinese ship that had been shadowing the U.S. ship put a small boat into the water. That means a raft with an engine on the back and snatched one of the drones. By the way, if it was an international water and this was an incident, we could have blown them out of the water. But since this military is run by Barack Obama and, what's his name, Mr. Pink Tie, the shaker from Harvard? The maritime tiff made waves in the stock market. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ gave up small gains on Friday morning. Big deal. A little world tension out there. The incident comes after President-elect Donald Trump has questioned the longstanding U.S. one-China foreign policy in which formal relations are maintained with Beijing and not Taiwan. China's ambassador to the U.S., Kui Dingkai, warned Trump on Thursday that his nation's national sovereignty and territorial integrity are non-negotiable. The next day, they seize a drone. Well, my friends, the question is, here's the question to you. Do you think that Mr. Trump's faux pas in reaching out to Taiwan had anything to do with this? Don't even call me on it. Of course it did. I told you this would happen. I told you the Chinese are not going to let this go unnoticed and they're going to react to it. I told you that. And this is a very minor incident, incidentally. And the reason he reached out to Taiwan is very clear. He was lobbied by the two-timer, Bob Dole, who's a lobbyist for Taiwan. And I don't know how many of you noticed this. I was the only one in the media to this day who noticed this. What was the first cabinet appointment that Trump made? It was Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, as transportation secretary. She happens to be Taiwanese. Now, I'm a great supporter of Taiwan and Taiwanese people, as I have been for over 20 years. But this created unnecessary world tension. It was dumb. It was stupid. It was bad negotiating. It shouldn't have been done. Nobody's advising properly on this issue. I know more about diplomatic relations than the stooges from Wall Street. Now, let's go on to the next incident. We're hearing that the Russians hacked the election, right? Raise your hand if you heard that. Everyone's heard it. After all, it's coming from reliable sources like Wolf Blitzer. Okay, Russians hacked the election. Question to the audience across the world. If the Russians hacked the election, how did Hillary win the popular vote? Can anyone answer that? I don't have the answer to that. I'm a fairly logical man. Let's see, Hillary says that the Russians hacked the election, and yet she won the popular vote. So that means they hacked it to give her the popular vote. Well, doesn't it mean that? That's all. Open mic to Mike, 855-407-2822. The government's putting out all the fake news you could ever want. Fake news, fake news. Fake news gunman pleads not guilty to firing shot in pizza. Remember that story, Pizzagate? With the sex thing they made up? Unbelievable what's going on in the world. Congressman begs Electoral College voters to block Trump. That's not going to happen. Summer Redstone once gave $18 million to flight attendants. Now, you're not interested in that. The old Sumner Redstone of CBS and Viacom once gave $18 million to a flight attendant he had intimate relations with. $18 million for one night? That's a high price, even by Russian standards. Sumner Redstone, Sammy Rothstein. You know how he started? This guy is a genius. Sammy Rothstein started in one movie theater in the Bronx. He's a genius. The guy's a business genius. So what if he has a proclivity for the women? First of all, he's single. He's divorced. Number two, he's got a lot of money. So what's the difference? Why is it your business, what Sammy does? What makes Sammy run is the question. Whatever. You're not interested in that. Santa, we could play some Christmas music. Maybe they want to hear that tonight. Maybe you want to hear some of the Christmas music. All right, let's go to the callers, 855-407-282. As long as I don't talk about anything esoteric like saving sharks or saving whales, you'll be happy. If I stick to the basic theme of a 14 IQ for a talk radio, which is, let's see, Democrats bad, they're all liberals, they're communists, they're all socialists, they all read Saul Alinsky. Let's see, throw in the word Marxist. Republicans are also no good right now, so they don't know who to back. I guess they just back themselves and then revert back to Thomas Jefferson. That's talk radio. That's what passes for talk radio today. Now you're happy. As long as I'm not talking about sex assault, that was one of the best shows I've done in a long time. People stop me. I don't talk to anybody. People stop me who I do talk to. In fact, just this morning, someone said that caller Sarah, the forensic nurse who investigates claims of sexual assault, was a great caller. Sarah, are you listening? Sarah, are you listening? Come in, Sarah. Sarah, come in. Come in, Berlin. Berlin, come in. Fake news floor. Facebook's plan relies on mainstream media to police news. Undershirt didn't go to the meeting. Can anyone help me raise money to buy Mark Zuckerberg a proper shirt and a sport jacket? Why does he have to wear an undershirt? Even in cold weather? Oh, I understand why he didn't go to New York to Trump. He didn't have a jacket. That's all. He's from the alt. Well, he wouldn't be alt right. He wouldn't be alt left. Mark Zuckerberg would be in an alt universe. Zuckerberg lives in an alternate universe, never mind the alt left. What else do you want to talk about? U.S. demands China return stolen underwater drone. They're not returning it. Does anyone remember what happened to the drone that was picked up by Iran right at the beginning of Hussein's administration? Raise your hand if you remember. One of the first incidents that happened when Hussein became president was an unmanned, the latest model U.S. Air Force drone was delivered unscratched to the who was it who picked it up? I think the Russians. I think the Russians got the drone. No, the Iranians got the drone. No one knows how it got there. No one knows who sent it there. No one who knows why it was sent there. It was like delivering a brand new Lamborghini to the Iranians that no one had ever seen before with the most advanced technology. It landed without a scratch on it, and the Iranians got it. That was the first thing that was done under Hussein. Do you know that? So look, you know, we're used to this with our leaders. It's like a machine that's like lurching along like Frankenstein. It seems no matter who takes over, it's like a Frankensteinian state. Right or wrong? All right. What is this? Why is someone calling saying he was born in the same hospital as me? Why would I care if he was born in the same hospital as me? As long as you don't die in the same hospital as me, okay? All right, leave him on the line. I'll talk to him in a minute. The hospital's still there. I drove by it a few years ago. Big deal. It's still there, 17th Street and 2nd Avenue. I'm the only one in radio who's actually born in New York, even though people say that they're from New York. They're actually from Cleveland. How do you like that? That's why I still sound like I'm from New York. I was actually born on 2nd Avenue. Would you believe that? A stone's throw away from the Orchidia restaurant, which is long gone on 2nd Avenue, which used to have the best Italian food in the world because it was horrible. By today's standards, the young people would hate that food. Thick, it was like a red sauce Italian. You could stand a spoon up in the sauce. The waiters were ornery. They didn't have a massive number of tattoos. They were skinny Italians that looked like they could kill you. If you looked at them the wrong way, they looked like they put a knife in your eye. Wiry types. But they only had one tattoo on their arm. Usually it was in the upper, like the shoulder area from when they were in the Navy in World War II. They got one tattoo. That was enough for them. Anyway, where am I going with this? No, I have one major question for you. Hillary is saying that the Russians hacked the election. Michael Savage is asking if they did, how'd she wind up with the popular vote? That would mean that they hacked it in favor of her. End the story. Can we move on now? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Everything's coming up roses. The pollster is running America. How does she take credit for having elected Trump? No one heard of her. If you go back 6 months, did you ever hear of this woman, Conway? No one heard of her. No one knew who she is. Everywhere you turn, there she is like a cheerleader. She's on this show, that show, on that show, this show, dressed as a witch, then dressed as an angel. How is this woman suddenly so important? 6 months ago, no one ever heard of her. While I was in the trenches getting Trump elected, she was unknown somewhere. Now she's already the one who elected Donald Trump. She's taken over the American government. I didn't vote for her. I don't know who she is. I'm sure she's a nice person. People in Iowa say that I'd like her. I'm sure I would, but why is she out front on everything now? Was it a choice between Marianne Conway and Hillary Clinton? Did they say in the box R, Kellyanne Conway or Hillary Clinton? I never heard of her. All of a sudden, she's running the country. And of course, all of the hosts on this side are already lining up because they want to be invited to the to this, to that. They want to go to the state dinners. They'll be in the Lincoln bedroom. I see what's coming. It's just George Bush all over again. Remember when Bush had all of the talk show hosts into the White House except me? That was a badge of honor for me. You remember when his wife, Bush's wife, ran a literacy program and talked about books? Her thing, you know, every first lady takes a campaign with Mrs. Bush. It was literacy and library. Even though I'd written one bestseller after another, they made believe I didn't exist because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a supporter of the RNC. That's all. That's simple. I didn't fit in with the Texas thing. I was one of those northern you-know-what kind of boys. I can't use the word to them. Yeah, it runs deep in that part of town. But nevertheless, all right, so I wasn't invited. For Michelle, she had a cause. It was diet. She was the queen of fries, remember? Remember she said she was the queen of fries? She couldn't resist them. So her thing was healthy food. She made your children eat garbage that no one would eat. And she ate French fries. But that was her cause. I don't know what the cause is going to be of this family. I have no... What's it going to be? Child care? That was another one I read this morning. Now I read that they're going to take on and make it government-funded child care now. Okay, the world is upside down. The world is upside down. Is it any wonder I got a little tachycardia? WABC, Andy on line one, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. The reason Trump took the call is because China flew two nuclear-capable bombers right over Taiwan 2 weeks beforehand. I believe it was pushback against that.
Okay, let's say that we were offended by that and threatened by that. Do you think that the right way to go would be a diplomatic insult and a slap to the face of China or back channels?
Well, you know, I think back channels is the right way, but I'm a little concerned that China's...
Well, excuse me, especially when dealing with a nation that has a big, big thing going back, about 8,000, 5,000 years in saving face. They're all about honor and face saving. This was a faux pas. It was a mistake by an amateur administration that didn't know what they were doing.
I choose to disagree with you, but I like you a lot.
Well, here's what's going to happen. People are really offended that I'm daring to criticize anything that Trump and whatever it's called, interim campaign with people, whatever, whoever they are, a transition team. They're making one mistake after another. They're not doing everything correctly. Now, if we who put him in power sit here like dumbbells and don't say anything, he's going to move further and further to the left, and he's going to be pushed further and further to the left by Rinso Priebus of the RNC. And that's why now is the time to speak out, not after it's too late. That's all. Not giving any books away today. I'm feeling like Scrooge. Maybe later when I'm in a better mood. What a day I've had so far. If you only knew. On the other hand, since I can't tell you what's really going on, I can tell you something I can tell you. I've seen one of my enemies vanquished. I heard he's wandering around eating out of dumpsters. The man who tried to destroy me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855.
Anymore. I have to be very careful in the age of the Zook. The undershirt rules. Hacking. My whole life has been hacked by the left. Talk about hacking. First, they hacked my ability to make a living as a white man. They said that affirmative action should trump quality. So they put morons in jobs that I should have had. That was number one. How about that for hacking a person's life? Does that count? KSFO, Ellen, line 7, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. Thanks for doing your analysis every day. I wait for it. My grandson, I couldn't afford to go to college, even though Santa Cruz is going to give him a $20,000 a year grant. He doesn't want to graduate in debt. So he joined the Marine Corps without discussing it with me. I was trying to sway him into the Air Force or the Coast Guard. But he speaks two languages, Italian and German, because he grew up over there when his mom was going to graduate school. And he's been defending Americans all his life. And so he just decided to sign up, I guess. And I'm really glad that Trump's the president instead of Obama. And I want you to pray for him and everybody in the Savage Nation to pray for him because...
Is that the whole call? To pray for Trump?
Say that again? What?
Is that the whole reason you called to tell us to pray for Trump?
No, I called to say Merry Christmas. I appreciate you, and you're one of the things I'm thankful for.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I need all the prayers I can get. Can anyone answer this? I'll say it again because no one heard it. I haven't heard this in the media yet. Maybe it's been said or written about. I don't know. We're hearing that the election was hacked. We hear it from CNN. We hear it from the moron in the government, the morons. Then we hear it from Hillary's camp. If they hacked the election, how did she win the popular vote? Can anyone answer that? It makes no sense. Am I allowed to use common sense or logic to ask a question? No, not in America. University of Wisconsin offer a class on the problem of whiteness. Now, on the face of it, that's a racist thing to do. The goons, the left-wing goons who are doing this, to offer a class on the problem of whiteness are by definition stone-hearted racists. But it's being offered by the university's so-called African Cultural Studies Department. And what it really means to be white and how race is experienced by white people. Critical whiteness studies, they call. Do you have any idea that this is the most racially charged, racist kind of thing you could ever imagine? And do you understand that African cultural studies have nothing to do with promoting racism in America? But this is what happens. When you put idiots into any department, they'll still be an idiot. You can still put a cap and gown on a moron and still be a moron. What, everyone belongs in college? All right, let's just move on here. But a lot of them in government don't understand how bad this is. Oh, let's see the callers. Okay, let's go to WFTL. Charles, line 9. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I really enjoyed Wednesday and Thursday's show. They were very stimulating.
Yeah, but you must be in a minority of white men. Because most white men don't like me talking about saving whales or sexual assault. It's not manly enough. If you're a real man, if you're a real Republican, what you do is you eat beef 6 times a day, you smoke cigars, you laugh at poor people, you laugh at anyone who's struggling to work 3 jobs at minimum wage, you tell them to go to the free market, and you'd say that you're a Republican, and Republicans kill animals, crush animals. Republicans think that all sexual assault is made up. That's the real manly thing to do.
I'm not a Republican, Michael. I haven't been for almost 10 years.
What, are you a commie liberal?
No. I'm independent, and I lean towards sometimes libertarian, sometimes conservative, and sometimes my own ideas.
Well, watch out that the alt-right, fake-right police, thought police don't get you.
I believe that I'm considered alt-right because if you're not left, you're alt-right.
Well, I'm all there. I don't know about alt-right. I know that I'm all there. I think most people are not all there, the ones I meet.
I agree with you on that. I tend to think that people are just so swept up.
Let me ask you something. You're an intelligent guy, Charles. How's the weather in Florida right now? Because I'm going there tomorrow.
I'm in Fort Lauderdale. It's 78. They keep talking about how freezing it is up north, but none of it's getting down here.
Yeah, 78's still a little... Well, that's nice weather. Nighttime, probably 61, 68.
It doesn't hang.
The humidity is gone.
Mostly, yes.
Interesting. And the restaurants are crowded, the roads are jammed, right? You got everyone's there for the holidays now.
I can't afford to go to a restaurant, so I wouldn't know.
No, look, I'm the truth is that the weather in Florida this time is the best in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go down there for a while and enjoy it. Listen to the ocean pound. See if I can help save the manatees and other wildlife. I'm going to get involved with the natural groups down there this time. Because these things are being chopped up in the channel there by stupid morons on motorboats. All the Guidos from New Jersey. You ever see them on the intercoastal? The idiots with the wife beater shirts?
Yeah.
Have you seen the morons from the South Jersey and the speeding on the motorboats? They're like right out of like a bad like the Sopranos on heroin. Why do they have to be stereotypes of themselves when they get in a boat? Why do they have to speed and splash everybody and kill animals? What, does that make them more of a man? They think girls are going to be attracted to them?
More of a Philistine.
Philistines, that's a good word. They're like Philistines from South Jersey. Hey, Tony, look at my motorboat, Tony. Hey, Tony, you want to go for a ride? Hey, Tony, let's swamp some of those ferries in the sailboats. Hey, Tony, there's a guy in a sailboat, some commie. Let's swamp him. All right, that's milk that one. Here's the problem. I don't know if I could actually be off the radio for 2 straight weeks. The plan is Florida for a week, then maybe to my place in L.A. for a week. I don't know if I'll make it. We have great fill-ins coming up. But I reserve the right if there's breaking national or international news to come on the air. Because I have hot studios in all the houses. For me to sit there with news going on, who am I going to talk with about it? The worst part of it is I saw the dog this morning. Oh, God, that killed me. He goes on Mondays and Fridays to Irene. Irene, as you know, takes care of my dogs. She's a lovely lady. And she bathes him on Monday and Friday. I spend more on his hair than I do on my own. That's because he has more hair than mine to begin with. But number two, so she takes care of him on Monday and Friday. So today's a Friday, so normally goes, he doesn't like going lately. He's very close to me as he gets older. He knows, you know, like, he sees the metronome, they feel it. He senses it now. He just wants to spend as much quality time as he can with me before one of us. Anyway, so she comes to get him this morning, and I give him, it was sad, it's like I gave his bed, his favorite blanket, like his greenies. I felt like I was, like, giving him away. And then, like, an emptiness hit me. Did you ever get, like, an emptiness come over you? A vacuum came through my body. I didn't want to go away already. I was ready to cancel the trip again and go get the dog. But no, then I figured it out. I it's better for him. He's too old to travel. You ever see how many fake service animals there are now on airplanes? People have goats on airplanes. They have pigs on airplanes. Great Danes on airplanes. They're not service dogs. They're fake service dogs. Look, I'm into, like, okay, you want to eat outdoor restaurant, fine, even indoor if it's truly a service dog. You know it's a racket. Most people are faking it. Unbelievable to me. You got to fly on an airplane. What if I'm allergic to a cat and a woman says it's her service cat? Whose disability, so to speak, trumps whose? Her neurosis or my allergy to cat dander? I don't know what the poor steward I do on an airplane with a situation like that. Is there a stewardess listening to the show? I mean, a flight attendant? I can't even use words I grew up with. Stewardess. Is there a flight attendant listening to the show? Flight attendant. Is there a flight attendant listening to the show? Could tell me. Let's say a passenger comes on with a couple of cats in a box. They're not even in boxes anymore. They put them in a seat. That's the real goal. Now that it's not bad enough. It started with them under the seat. Now it's in a seat. Okay, but let's say it's next. The woman's holding the cat. And you have allergies to a cat, and you get seated next to the woman with the cat, and you press the button, bing, and she comes over. What does she do? It's like a judge. What, do they try to move you, or they move the cat lady? What if there's a service dog on the plane that dumps on the floor? What do you do then? You're supposed to look the other way? No, what if the dog just dumps on the airplane? What? Oh, excuse me, it's a service dump? It doesn't matter? It doesn't stink? Because it's your service dog? Who cleans that up? The service, who cleans it? The service dog owner or the flight attendant? Crazy world. The whole world's insane, thanks to the lawyers. And we're worried about fake news. I'm more concerned about who they're going to sit me next to on the airplane than I am about China. I am more concerned about that than I am about the drone that China ripped off. What else now? What are they? Okay, here's another one who wants war with China. George on WABC. Go ahead, George. We should have war with China over Taiwan.
I didn't say we should have war. I said they're bullies, and you can't let bullies bully you. I have firsthand experience. I've been to China twice. I set up factories, and they would rip off, you know, patents while you're there and tell you if you don't test, you know, their...
Oh, so you think it's smart to provoke them publicly rather than to be tough behind the scenes? See, I would think that if you want to be tough with China over this issue, you get tough with China behind the scenes and don't make a public a show of it, because then you might get somewhere in your negotiation. But if you make it public, there's nowhere to go. Everyone knows the negotiation 101. Once you make that statement public, you can't take it back, and there's nowhere to go. There's no negotiating position. The negotiating position comes from doing it behind the scenes and holding back the stronger scene. Thanks for the call. He has a factory in China like I had a factory in China. Another one, expert on China. Probably had takeout from a Chinese restaurant on Lexington Avenue 3 times. He's an expert on Chinese behavior. Let me repeat to you, those of you who don't understand the art of negotiation. What was done with Taiwan and China was absolutely a blunder, a total blunder. If you want to get tough with China over their bullying, over their currency, over their trade policies, what you do is you do it behind closed doors, because then you have some leverage, a position to fall back from, and then you could always pull the trigger on the Taiwan statement later on. But once you pull the trigger on this Taiwan telephone call, tell me where you go from there. You go nowhere. So the next thing I do is they seize a drone. And what did we do when they seized our drone? Nothing. Obama went surfing in Hawaii, and Michelle cried that there was no hope anymore. Of course there's no hope. If you ought to give up Air Force One, Air Force Two, and you had to go find apartments for your mother-in-law and yourself, and had to pay your own bills, of course there's no hope. How could you have hope after a thing like this, after ripping off the government for 8 straight years and flying around like a queen and no one says a word to you out of fear that they'll call your names? Of course there's no hope. She can. Oh, he's a flight attendant, Tom. And my luck, it's a male flight attendant. Tom, you're a flight attendant where? Out of San Fran or Fort Lauderdale?
No, I was based in Houston with a major airline.
All right, so what if you get a cat lady and then next to him is someone who's allergic to a cat?
Well, of course, we try to accommodate everyone, but in this case, I'm going to ask someone to change seats with you, and that is not allergic to cats. So, in other words, you're out. She can remain in her seat, but I'm going to try to move you first.
So, in other words, the guy who's allergic to cats, he's second to the cat woman?
Yes.
Why? Why wouldn't the cat woman who's making the offense to begin with be asked to move?
Yeah, because we're dealing with Americans with Disabilities Act.
Even if she's not really disabled, right? She just wants to take her cat with her.
That's right. If she has the paperwork, then there's not much we can do about it.
Well, what does the paperwork say? What, she's disabled, but she's not disabled when she has a cat?
No, it just means that she's qualified to have a service animal, and
How does a cat serve a human? What does it do?
Special classification.
No. I understand if a person is blind, they have a seeing eye dog. I've given a lot of money to the organization. I think they're saintly. But what does a cat do for a person if they're disabled?
I don't know. You know, I can't. Listen,
like, what does it do for them? It, like, licks the milk up for them? What do they do? What does a cat do?
Yeah.
I know it's not a service animal per se. In the sense of actually, it's like it gives them comfort. It's called a comfort animal. So because the woman with the cat gets to pet the cat for 6 hours on a plane, and you're coughing and sneezing and turning red and having an anaphylactic reaction, that doesn't matter. Oh, what a job it is to be a flight attendant. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So a reporter collapsed there at Obama's press conference. Who was the reporter? Who was the reporter? I don't understand what happened. They put a cloak over him? With someone slipped a Mickey? Was it someone from the alt-right that got doped up? A Russian? Russians must have done it. The Russians must have hacked the press conference to distract everyone from Obama's goodbye speech. He's got to rush off to Hawaii. It's, surf's up. What time is it already? 56 minutes after the hour? Of course, the clock doesn't work, which says end of the hour. I didn't tell the technician to set that, so it wasn't done. I had already one studio fail on me this morning because it rained in this. In the Bay Area, where I have studios, it's like living in Poland before Glasnost. PG&E shuts down streets for no reason. They don't give you a warning. They're working on a wire. They turn your phones off. It's like living in Poland. So I had to run out of the studio 5 minutes of the hour, run to another studio with tachycardia. Thank God everything's working here, but the screen's not set up properly. That's all. It doesn't matter to me. It's like having a plane with four engines and I'm flying on three. I could fly on one engine. If the Russians hacked the election, how did she win the popular vote? Did that make it to the Daily News yet? Open mic to Mike. Any topic is fair game. If the Russians hacked the election, how'd she win the popular vote? What's the difference between a service animal and a comfort animal? What is service and comfort? What, because you like a cat that makes you're allowed to give people like a disease on an airplane? Like,
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
All right, here's some news out of the Middle East anyway. I don't think it made it to the major American services yet. And I think it's very interesting news. A Hamas operative known as the engineer has been assassinated by Mossad in Tunisia. So the Israelis are still, they're still out there. The target was Mohammed al-Zawahiri, known to Israel's security echelon as the engineer. He was found shot to death inside his vehicle in the city of Sfax in Tunisia. The Mossad, Israel's foreign intelligence agency, has reportedly assassinated a Hamas militant operating out of Tunisia, according to Channel 10, citing Arab media. Found shot to death. Five suspects were later detained by Tunisian authorities, along with multiple vehicles, weapons, and mobile devices. Zawahiri, an aviation engineer and scientist, was shot 3 to 7 times by unknown assailants in his car near his home. Motive unclear. According to Channel 10, the nationality of the detainees include one suspect from the Netherlands, one from Morocco, and the rest from varying European countries. An additional report from Hungary claimed that a Hungarian citizen posing as a journalist conducted an interview with the senior Hamas operative shortly before his death. Aha! The Hungarian immediately departed from Tunisia after their meeting. It's like a spy novel. He is known for his contacts with Hamas, credited with a number of innovations in drone technology. So, you know, it's, you know, take it whichever way you want. If you teach at Harvard, it's time to mourn. If you're an American who loves Israel, it's time to celebrate. That's all. This is the Savage Nation. There are other stories we'll be talking about on the program today. That's just something popped up out of the Jerusalem Post that I haven't seen on any of the wire services yet. U.S. indicts 3 Romanians over $4 million in a cyber fraud. What else is new? Romania. They send us their best and their brightest, don't they, out of Romania? The best come out of Eastern Europe. The absolute best, just what we need. Trump team just backtracked already on moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Yesterday they're moving it. Today they say it's too early for the timing on the U.S. Embassy move to Jerusalem. Again, one of them shot their mouths off. It must be the witch. The witch now made that one up. No, they set off another, almost set off another, another war. Peace process will be destroyed if Trump moves U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. In other words, why did he have to make a public statement about it right off the bat before he's president? It's like going, okay, let's tell, we're going to Taiwan. Yeah, one, hey, how you doing, Taiwan? Bingo. Steal a drone. Oh, we're moving the embassy to Jerusalem. We read about that on Breitbart. Let's make sure it's a big story. Now that we're president. All right, say that. Next day, peace process ruined. Bombs go off. What I'm saying to you is it's one thing to support Trump, which I do 100%. 100%, which is why I put my body on the line for him for over a year. 100%. That does not mean I support the Republican National Committee and Rinso Priebus and some of the morons who are around Trump who are making disastrous political errors, one after the other. I know more about international relations than the pollster does. I know more about international relations than half the people that are who are advising Donald Trump. How do you like that? Do you think that if you're a zillionaire in real estate, it makes you a genius in everything? You have to get seasoned diplomats who know how other nations, what their culture is. What their culture is, meaning how do they react to things. The way, for example, that a builder reacts to your threats in New York City is not the same as the Chinese government is going to react. Let's say you're building a building in Manhattan and you need certain zoning done. Now, maybe you have to threaten a city official. Maybe you don't. Maybe in dealing with the unions that pour the concrete, you have to be very tough, or maybe you have to be very meek and do what the union wants you to do. You don't just go and scream at the union to get the building built. They wouldn't pour a bucket of cement. So many of you who have never delved in the real world, you think it's a good idea to threaten China over Taiwan? It's not a good idea. It was dumb. You think it's a good idea to say, I'm moving the embassy to Jerusalem? Yay, or the Chabadniks go crazy over that. But it was a diplomatic faux pas, another one. Who's advising him? I don't know. Who are making these decisions before he's even president? Oh, look at the things I have to straighten out for the world every day on the show. Russia says Syrian army takeover of eastern Aleppo is complete. Yeah, they did the job. They killed them. They did what militaries are supposed to do. They killed the enemy. So right away, this is the hand-wringing already. Obama screaming this and that. FBI-backed CIA assessment on Russian motives and U.S. hacking. Oh, right. FBI-backed CIA. Hello, FBI. Hello, CIA. Question for you. If the Russians hacked the election, how did Hillary win the popular vote? Is there anyone in the FBI who's home? Is there anyone in the CIA who can answer that question? It's not making sense. You know, this time of year is Christmas coming up. Jewish holiday of Hanukkah is coming up. And I've told this story many times. I'll say it again, maybe. If I'm on the air, I'll come on for one day, maybe. I'll get bored in Florida or L.A. I'll have to come on the air. But, you know, in the Jewish tradition, there's a holiday of Hanukkah. So they spin a dreidel. The children are given a thing to spin. You ever see it? A dreidel. It has a thing you spin, and it goes around on a table or a flat surface. Even non-Jews know it. Jim is shaking his head, and he's a guy who eats kielbasa. No, Jim, you're Italian, right? But you've seen dreidels, right, all your life? You see, the kids are given a dreidel to spin. It's a little game. Now, there's a word in Jewish for dreidel. Dreidel just means the spinning thing, right? If you say to someone, Sedrei mi nisht mein kop, which means stop spinning my head around like a dreidel, that's what that means. Sedrei mi nisht, which means stop spinning my head around. The foreign policy that's coming out right now of the tower is like a dreidel. I don't know which way it's going to stop once it stops spinning. We're moving Jerusalem. We're not moving Jerusalem. We talked to Taiwan. We didn't mean to talk to Taiwan. We thought we were calling takeout on 2nd Avenue. We accidentally talked to the premier of Taiwan. She picked up. We didn't actually. Not truly. We wanted the noodles with a soba soup, but we accidentally called Taiwan. We didn't really mean it. It doesn't make sense. They're not even in the presidency yet. Stop with the dreidel spinning. The umbrella will go up for auction on the inauguration day. Now, for those of you who know what I'm saying, you're laughing, you're smiling. I'm promising you, I'm doing it. How many times did I have Trump on the show? 50, 30, 40? I don't know, a lot. In the last 5 or 6 times, which we will play around inaugural time, I concluded, it became a shtick, I concluded each interview with something nice to Mr. Trump. I would say, well, I'm saving that umbrella for the inauguration. And he would say, you save it, Michael, you're going to need it. Well, obviously, I'm not going to need it at the inauguration. But I'm going to auction it off, which is the umbrella that was never at the inauguration. I'm going to sign it, and I'm going to give all of the money that I raised to the guys who were saving the whales, okay? We're going to do that on inauguration day. I don't know what it'll get. I knew a guy when I was young, terrific man out of England, owned an art gallery, great guy. He actually funded my research when the government wouldn't. I mean, I lived on very little money, but I needed some amount of money to take care of my family, pay my bills, do my research. The government wouldn't fund it. And it was good research. See, he was a believer in the private funding of research. He was a fabulous art dealer. And I was shocked to find out later in his life he bid on an auction. He went to an auction. And he bid on Marilyn Monroe's brassiere. I didn't know this. He paid like $10,000 for Marilyn Monroe's brassiere. I didn't get mad at him over it. To each his own. Why did a man want Marilyn Monroe's brassiere? But I think he paid $10,000 for it. We're talking 20 years ago. So I'm figuring if Marilyn Monroe's brassiere brings $10,000, my umbrella that should have been at the inauguration but isn't, signed by me could bring at least $12. $12, $15 top with my listenership. You know, that's 12, maybe $18 top. I don't know. You can see I'm just having fun today. I mean, I am having a good time because things went so bad, they're all good now. This is the way I am. I know how to thrive in dark humor. When things get when things get tough, I get tougher. When things get hard, I get harder. I just keep going. I just keep on going. As God gives me the breath, I keep on going. Obama says, world united in horror, bloodshed in Aleppo by Assad and Russia. Oh, come on, Obama. Go surfing already. The world is not horrified by Aleppo. We were horrified by your stooges and ISIS when they were setting people on fire in cages. That's when the world was horrified. The world is horrified and united. What world? The 7 diplomats at the UN? Unbelievable lies. He doesn't stop. UN chief urges Israeli lawmakers to reconsider. Yeah, but why they announced that they're moving the embassy to Jerusalem? That's been a long-standing thing of Zionism, is that it's the one center of Israel, Gustavo. Why does it have to be in Jerusalem? What is that about? Why must you antagonize? The world has changed since the Bible. So can we have a compromise here and there once in a while? I mean, you no longer stone adulterers to death, thank God. Thank God you don't kill gay people. So could you say, well, okay, we won't move the thing to Jerusalem. Is there any way to work it out with the million? How many people live in the so-called West Bank? How many Palestinians are disenfranchised from not having a homeland? What are you going to do with them? They haven't gone away yet. They're still living there and having children. What do you want to do with them? You cannot keep this wound open forever. It has to come to an end. Now, if you're going to teach your children, as the Palestinians do, to kill and murder Jews, you're never going to have a homeland. So there's no answer to the problem. So what do? You antagonize the lunatics by moving the embassy to Jerusalem so they teach their children more to kill Jews? It makes no sense to me. There's no solution. You know that for some problems, there is no solution in life. Did you know that? Here's the challenge for all of us. Here's the paradox for all of us that no one said yet. We thought when we got rid of the phony in the White House, the surfer, the golfer, who'll be gone soon. Not yet. He's still got plenty of time left to destroy things. You thought that once he was gone and Trump took over, all problems in the world would be resolved because he's a good businessman. He knows how to solve problems. Business tactics don't apply to everything in the world. You cannot take a cookie-cutter approach of how you do business, even if you're the toughest businessman in the world, and apply that to diplomacy. That is why the diplomatic corps was developed. What is diplomacy? Read your Clausewitz. You know who Clausewitz is? No, he's not in the closet business. No, he doesn't own a bakery on 13th Street. Clausewitz wrote that fundamentally diplomacy is another way of doing war. But it's called diplomacy. It's rather than killing, you do it behind closed doors and you negotiate in a very subtle manner. That's diplomacy. Now, they're all methods of negotiation. I get that. In some case of negotiation, you beat someone over the head and threaten them. Maybe that works with a contractor. Maybe that works with a guy who's supplying you with something or cheated you. But it doesn't necessarily work with large nations with hydrogen bombs. You get the picture? There is a difference between negotiating with a closet supplier or a TV supplier in a hotel chain and a country that has hydrogen bombs.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. In the middle of the day, he wants to hear this like burlesque music. So Obama's giving his going away speech before racing off to another vacation with him and Michelle and the children and the mother-in-law. And he blamed talk radio and domestic propagandists for the rise of state-sponsored fake news. Look, I could get angry over this. So he said, talk radio and domestic propagandists are responsible for fake news, in other words. Now, this is coming from a community organizer who is an absolute domestic propagandist. What is a community organizer but a domestic propagandist? And what is the Marxist-Democrat propaganda media, including Facebook, other than fake news? So he blew it on the stand today. He had everything except the stainless steel balls in his hand. That, if you know what I'm, the references to Captain Queeg. Yeah. Domestic propaganda. We're going to get that soundbite for you. This is terrific. He blew it today. President Obama blamed talk radio and other domestic propagandists for the rise of fake news, including fictional news items published by state-sponsored actors now. See, that's the latest words, actors. That started about a year ago out of State Department, actors. If fake news that's being released by some foreign government is almost identical to reports that are being issued through partisan news venues, then it's not surprising that that foreign propaganda will have a greater effect, said President Obama. It doesn't seem that far-fetched compared to some of the other stuff folks are hearing from domestic propagandists. This is the kind of rhetoric that we heard in the ex-Soviet Union. A man like me is called a domestic propagandist because I seek the truth. But if Wolf Blitzer and CNN and NBC and MSNBC and Fox News and all of the other extensions of the government media complex put out the information that the government wants them to put out, that's real news? Well, my friends, you decide for yourself. I think we just decided by voting him out and voting out the Democrat Party, didn't we? Wasn't that what the election was about? So what are the reliable outlets for news? You are. You're actually the most reliable outlet to decide for yourself what the news actually is. So you listen to the left, you listen to the right, you read the left, you read the right, if you're really interested in getting to the bottom of it. But when you talk about domestic propaganda, what is a greater example of domestic propaganda than the presidency itself, which is all propaganda? When you have a spokesmouth for the president like Josh Ernst getting up there lying every day, is that not an example of domestic propaganda? Or if you have Wolf Blitzer drinking wine when Hillary gives a speech and the other one having a thrill go up his leg, the one with the toupee, that's not domestic propaganda? You have the soundbite while I'm ad-libbing? You have it already? Well, play it already. Don't just shake your head. You got to fire it off. That's all.
Compared to some of the other stuff that folks are hearing from domestic propagandists.
Ah.
To the extent that our political dialogue is such where everything's under suspicion, everybody's corrupt, and everybody is
everybody
doing things for partisan
everybody
reasons, and all of
hey
our
buddy
institutions are...
Hey, buddy, can you spare a line? Hey, buddy.
Full of malevolent actors.
You are malevolent.
That's the storyline that's being...
It is the storyline. You're a malevolent community organizer who wrecked the world, you schmendrick, you! You are a malevolent individual. You set out to destroy the world, and you have done a great job. That's why Trump was elected. If you were a rational president, even a rational Democrat, he never would have gotten elected. But you were so vile and so evil, so corrupt, so corrupting, that Trump won. Blame yourself for it. Obama blames talk radio domestic propaganda. Did you hear this? I haven't heard a phrase like this since I read it under Stalin's time. This is what he's given us before dashing off to another vacation, a surf vacation. And she's crying that there's no hope anymore. There's no hope for more of the Air Force One, Air Force Two, huh? No more state dinners?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
So Obama gave his deranged going-away press conference before rushing off on a surf vacation. And in it, he seems to have done a Captain Queeg and lost it. So he's lashing out. He blames talk radio and domestic propagandists for the rise of state-sponsored fake news. So let's talk about that and what Captain Queeg said. Can I ask you something about domestic propaganda? Would you not say that this administration and the Democrats in general are the leaders of fake news and propaganda? Would you not say that we have lived under fake news and domestic propaganda for 50 years with the three major networks, CNN and the newspaper chains? Every day is the same propaganda over and over again. Is that not domestic propaganda? And so now that there are alternate voices in radio and on the internet sending different messages, we are now the propagandists? We're standing up to the left-wing fascism? So that's real diversity, and obviously the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party doesn't approve of it. So now let's listen to the surfer in his going-away speech to the world.
If fake news that's being released by some foreign government is almost identical to reports that are being issued through partisan news venues, then it's not surprising that that foreign propaganda will have a greater effect, because it doesn't seem that far-fetched compared to some of the other stuff that folks are hearing from domestic propagandists. To the extent that our political dialogue is such where everything's under suspicion, everybody's corrupt, and everybody is doing things for partisan reasons.
Not everybody.
And all of our institutions full of malevolent actors.
That's
the storyline that's being put out there.
Well, it's true.
By whatever party's out of power. Then, when a foreign government introduces that same argument with facts that are made up, voters who've been listening to that stuff for years, who've been getting that stuff every day from talk radio or other venues, they're going to believe it.
So now it's talk radio that caused this downfall. It's talk radio now. It's no longer the Russians and the Russian hacking. I guess I'll be accused of being a Russian spy tomorrow because my father came from Russia. Even though I've never been to Russia, I'd like to go to Russia. I'd like to meet Putin. Actually, it's one of my goals in life, is I love to meet Vladimir Putin. I'm sure that's off the table now, but I could be accused of being a Russian spy because I don't hate Russians and I don't hate Russia. So therefore, I must be a spy because I don't hate Russia and the Russians, and because I don't want war with Russia, by definition, I must be a Russian spy. I must be a propagandist now because I don't approve of Obama. And so there it is. Look how dangerous this guy really is. I wish he could just, can we give him an early buyout? Could I just raise money for him to buy another house somewhere in Kailua and never come back? Can Trump come in earlier? Is there anything on the books which says he has to be inaugurated on a certain day and start a certain day? Can they start early? Can they buy this guy out? What if we raised $100 million for him to never come back and never be heard from again? I could probably raise at least $30 million on this show over the course of a year. They're going to raise money to build a wall. I was thinking about that during the break. Since I don't think we're going to get the wall, I think that's not going to happen. What if we raised the money and built it ourselves? And then we went to Donald Trump and say, look, we have $100 million to build a wall. Can you help us get the Army Corps of Engineers? I mean, if they can build the Intracoastal Waterway years ago in Florida, can't they build a wall? Why do we need private contractors? You have an Army Corps of Engineers. What do they do all day long? Nothing. I don't know what they do. In the old, I mean, they built the Intracoastal Waterway. That was amazing. What the, I got something in my throat. I think I'm allergic to a cat. And there's no cat in the studio. Oh, I just ate seafood. Damn, I should have known. I ate a crab and shrimp louis. The garbage can. You know, supermarket crab and shrimp louis? I knew what was in it. But it was convenient. I knew my assistant had to be somewhere, so I bought it last night. Oh, God. First it was probably fake crab. I like fake crab because there's no toxins in it. It's all synthetic. There's no chance for synthetics. I don't actually like crab. I like fake crab. It's the funniest thing on earth. And then the shrimp, it's sewer shrimp, the little ones. Horrible. But it's like lettuce. It's an excuse for me to eat lettuce and stuff I normally don't like eating. You know, it's like 80, 90, 95% lettuce, half of an egg that they couldn't throw out. What else? A little tiny sewer shrimp, fake crab, nothing, not even a carrot, a tomato that they couldn't get rid of, piece of tomato. But it's packaged nicely, and I have like an anaphylactic from it. It's closing the throat down. It's a crab. I can posit something was in that thing. I may have to, okay, whatever. Ted on WABC, welcome to the program. Ted, line one, gone with the wind. Okay, next caller. WABC Sue, line three, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hillary Clinton and fake news. Wasn't the biggest bit of fake news Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice saying, we're going to get that guy who made that video, even saying it to the one of the victim's family members? Wasn't that atrocious and detrimental, straight-out lying?
How about when Obama said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor? If you like your insurance plan, you can keep your insurance plan. Was that fake news or real news?
Your business, you didn't make that.
No, you didn't make that. That's right, you didn't build it, he built it. Obama built it while he was at Columbia University.
You didn't put your blood...
Learning Alinsky 101. Because you're so nice, I'm going to send you a copy of Teddy and Me. Would you like that for Thanksgiving? I mean, for Christmas?
Oh, I would love it.
Okay, stay on the line. We'll send you Teddy and Me. You know, this is amazing. I mixed up Thanksgiving with the years, the months, the days for flying. The 16th of December already in the year 2016? You ever add up like when you were born? You ever do that like you're driving around, you have nothing to do with your head, stuck in traffic? So let's say you were born in a certain year, like whatever the year is, like 1960, so like 60. That is like 16, you know, 40, 56. Then you start to think like, well, how much, you know, do you think of a tombstone or whatever, like... It's 1960, 2016, 56, and you're getting older. Like, and then you blank it out of your head. It's like in a movie, it's like whenever they bury somebody, like who wants to watch the every movie now, it's either murder or burying. There's a lot of like burying in movies now. 12, 16, 26, so you're like 1960. And believe me, I wasn't born in 1960. You start doing the math, like you're doing the, and you say like, okay, the hourglass. More the sand on the bottom and the sand on the top. I can't believe it's 2016, number one. When the year 2000 came around, that to me was a milestone. I never thought I'd make it to the year 2000. I figured I'd be dead by 30. I burned so hot as a youngster. I was so energetic and so manicky because I was doing so many things at once. A guy like me, you figure, you know, burn hot like a shooting star. But it didn't. You don't know. You see the things you don't really know with these things. It's up to the man in the sky, that's the truth. And a good diet, a lot of exercise, tremendous numbers of macronutrients, garlic, proper amount of wine, a lot of meditation, breathing properly, watching an enormous amount of television movies, not talking to people, avoiding social situations as often as possible. This is all my secret to longevity. There's a little bit of truth, you know, to being antisocial, to living longer. I'm convinced of it. For a number of reasons. One, most people lie to each other. That's number one. So what are you going to get out of it? too. A guy complained to me yesterday. I was at a dental office. Again, a dentist. I had to go. I thought I was through with him. Wasn't bad enough. He put the crown in. There was a nub left on the back. I'm going on vacation. I didn't want to touch it. The tongue always seeks out. Like in your mouth. The tongue is the most sensitive thing in your body. So let's say he did a good job finally. After it fell out three times, he put it in. But your tongue will find that little spot on the back of the crown that's a little rough, and it'll keep touching it. Like, you always go for that spot, and you don't want to. So I went back to the guy in the middle of a rainstorm, and he got out the diamond thing and erased him. So he admitted to me that he doesn't look forward to Christmas. I'm not going to give his name. I said, why? He said, I don't like all the entertaining. So I said, become antisocial. You don't have to entertain anybody. Just get a takeout Crab Louie, and that's all you need for Christmas. A Crab Louie and a cat. What more do you need? But there's a lot to be said for not being overly social. Well, I don't know. Some people enjoy it, the partying and the hobnobbing. I could see it. The drinking, the smiling, and slapping each other on the back. But then there's the hygienic thing with parties, you know, because you go to a party, a very heavy social party, I mean, you're interacting with humans. Humans carry disease. And if you're a germophobic personality, how many times do you wash your hand at a party? Probably never. You're going to use a towel in someone's house? That's a conundrum, by the way, when you think about that. I'm thinking about all the hygienic problems of socializing. Okay, so let's say you go to a party, you have to shake hands. First of all, I don't shake hands to begin with. I do the Chinese thing. Actually, I do the fist bump. I've gone from shaking my own hand like in China 1,000 years ago, which was completely nuts. You're allowed to get away with a fist bump, which is very hygienic, by the way. Much better than shaking someone's sweaty hand. You don't know where that hand was before. If they're from the Middle East, can I tell you where the hand may have been? If you study the culture of the Middle East? I mean, you have to study, broad-based cultural anthropology to know what I just said. So number one, I don't shake hands. Who wants to touch someone's hand? And I don't like guys that try to grip you, like to show you. How do women put up with that? You talk about sexism. How about the guys, hey, little lady, and they try to break your knuckles to show you how tough and macho and, you know what I mean, how virile they are. They just took Viagra. They try to break your hand. So A, I don't shake hands. That's number one. All right. So I do a fist bump, too, because that way you can, it's just on the outside of your hand, and you don't eat a sandwich. I never ate a sandwich with the outside of my hand yet. I'm going to try that next. But no, I don't. So I can fist bump. But occasionally you're going to be eating stuff off the table. You're touching things that other people touched. You know the first rule of hygiene during cold and flu season is try to avoid right contact with the viroids that are floating around. So you wash your hands a lot, but there's a conundrum there. You go in a strange bathroom. What are you going to use? What if they don't have liquid soap? What if it's a bar of soap like from 1952, like Ivory? Like in Connecticut, no one had liquid soap. So you can't use that. You're dead in the water. Then what, are you going to use a linen towel? Can't do that. Look, you go in a restaurant. I'm not the only one with this thing. I can tell you right now. I can see it wherever I go. They got the basket now for the paper. They've had it for years. I see everyone does that. They wash the hand. They take the paper. Then they take a paper, freshie, and they touch the door handle and they throw it on the floor. Oh, I'm messing the bathroom today. I wait till I get home altogether. I don't even like to go wash my hands in a... So that's what I'm saying. You know, there's a lot of things to be said about hygiene. Where was I when I got distracted? Putin I'm talking about? Animals? Latinos? Adopted? Do you mind that I'm drifting a little? I'm having a little fun today because I'm going away on vacation. I'm pal hana. That's a Hawaii phrase for end of. Pal hana. I used to drink Primo. We'd say pal hana. So I am looking forward to Florida. I have a certain chair I like, a big chair by a window. On the second floor, in a place I have, where I hear the ocean pounding, maybe 100 yards off the house, no road between me and the ocean. And I read certain novels in that chair. It's a certain mood that sets, has to read the right novel at the right time with the right wind coming through the window. Like not dressed, hardly any clothing, but not naked. You don't want to read naked. It's impossible. I don't understand that. You cannot read naked. I haven't talked about that yet. As a man who's read 10,000 books... You can't read naked because your mind is like not motivated. That's a conflict between the intellect and the instinct. If you're sitting naked, you can't read. Your mind shuts down. Because when you're naked, it's for three other things only, which I don't have to spell out. It's a family show. One of them is not reading. Okay, so that's out of the question. So you have to wear like light clothing, sit in the chair. I think I get things set up the right way. The lamp has to be just right. Don't you have to have the lamp set up right? Then the wind has to come over the left side. The light has to come over the left side. And I have to read a novel set in the Caribbean. One of my favorite books that I ever read sitting in that chair was Hemingway's novel, about the, I forget the name of the novel, where the kid goes off to war and gets killed. Very touching, beautiful. The movie was with the George C. Scott. Islands in the Stream, wow. That was such an amazing movie, very touching. But you got to read like a novel about the tropics in the tropics. But I could go there, read a, like Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. I'd go to the Yukon if I wanted snow. No, what month is this already? December, the bears are in hibernation. I saw a show last night. I watched these animal shows, like a mother bear in Hokkaido with her two cubs, and she has to like gather the salmon, and they all have to eat so fast because if they don't feed the little bears before they hibernate, the little babies will die. They live on, you want to give them like bear welfare. He brings out like, how do they do this? And the mother is fishing for the salmon. You think it's easy? It isn't. She has to like wade and catch a fish. The fish doesn't want to die. The salmon doesn't jump in the mouth. It's not bumblebee salmon in a can. The salmon's trying to avoid the bear. The salmon's leaping in the air with the eye is alarmed. And the mother has to get the slippery fish and grab it and bring it over to the baby. Meanwhile, the two little cubs are watching her from a little like berm above her. They're learning how to fish. They don't know how to do anything. The cutest things. How do they live? Then they go in a... The hibernation. I watch a thing on a chipmunk. It has to put like 8 nuts in its mouth and go into its thing. And then the chipmunk's like outweighed by a squirrel that weighs 10 times more than the chipmunk. And while it's loading its cheeks up with it, you know what I'm saying? He's shelling the nuts in the winter, getting ready for the winter and the autumn, loading the nuts in his mouth, and here comes the squirrel that's 10 times bigger than him to rip off his nuts. But this little thing, although it's 10 times smaller than the other animal, chases the other thing away. How do you think it lives? See, and nature has everything to teach us. It's all about survival of the fittest.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, it's almost over these 2 hours, and many of you are leaving me. These are the last words you will hear from me for a while, unless I come on next week or the week after, from one of my vacation haunts. I have hot studios both in Florida and in Los Angeles, and if there's breaking or huge news, I'll come on. Otherwise, we have fabulous, great guys filling in some best-of shows, and I don't know if I'll be able to stay away. I hope to God there's nothing terrible to talk about over the next 2 weeks, but given the state of the world, given Obama's continuous provocations trying to provoke anger and hatred, I don't know what might happen. And of course, the war drums being beaten against Putin and Russia by him as he goes out the door are very worrisome, incidentally. Now, he's on vacation, thank God, in Honolulu, or wherever he is, in Kailua, and maybe that'll occupy him for a while, let him just calm down a little bit, so maybe there won't be any crises. He's done as much damage as he could today, accusing us of, who are seeking the truth, of being the equivalent of, let us say, the most people, the worst people on the planet. That's something that we would have heard in the 1950s. This is what McCarthy actually didn't do, but what Obama just did today was classic McCarthyism as explained by the left. Anyone who disagrees with him is now a propagandist when he himself is the number one propagandist and liar we've seen in the history of America. Okay. Oh, the Russians hacked the election, Obama? Then how did she win the popular vote? Did you read that in the New York Times? No, that's why they're closing 8 floors, and that's why I'm opening 8 floors. Because I'm not flawed, they are.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
None of this music appeals to me today. It's funny how you can tell by my, like, you know, as a talk show host, I've got to, like, do everything. I've got to think of the music, produce the music. I'm not complaining. But then when I play it, if I don't like it, it tells me something about what I'm feeling. I don't want any rock and roll. I don't want the Beach Boys. I don't know what mood I'm in. I'm in a strange mood. Like Obama's speech about domestic propagandists and talk radio is the reason that they lost the election. Yeah, it is the reason you lost the election. It is the reason you're going out in shame with your tail between your legs. Because we exposed you for what we are. What do you think Scorched Earth did? It elected Donald Trump and exposed you. That's right, that book. Let me get that book out. Let me talk to you 1 minute about my book. Because if I don't, who will? Someone else is going to tell you about it. Rush Limbaugh is going to tell you about Scorched Earth. That changed the course of human events. This book elected Donald Trump. This book exposed the Democrat socialist machine for what it is. This book is the book that did it. This is the book that even the intelligentsia on the left said was the architectural plan for Donald Trump. That's right. Michael Savage predicted the chaos that is Obama's legacy. Does that make me a propagandist for pointing out the 8 years of division that Obama has given us? And I asked you before the election several simple questions. I asked you during the killing of cops across the land, which was going on a regular basis and is still going on as a result of that evil president of ours, because of the hatred he has expressed towards the police, did it not become this nation, did this nation not become sort of a third world nation of terror? Check yes. How many terror events do we have under him? Many. Riots? Do you remember? You forgot all the riots? Mobs, you forgot the mobs, you forgot Black Lives Matter, you forgot Baltimore almost burning to the ground, you forgot Ferguson. How about the chaos that he's produced? Did I say in this book our Constitution has been trampled by a divisive president? Yes, it has been. Did I say that progressive policies and open borders have poisoned America? Yes, I did. Did I ask, are we one bad election away from losing everything? Yes. And hundreds of thousands of you went and bought the book. That means a multiple of that read the book. That means you are the defining difference between Trump winning and Trump losing. And that is why I wrote Scorched Earth. This is the book that did it. Now, if you want to call this book propaganda, go ahead and do so. But in order to prove it is propaganda, what you have to do is disprove my allegations. Restoring the country after Obama. It's funny how I opened that book with a quote from a French scholar that none of us ever heard of, where he said Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away. It was assassinated. Obama, Hillary, and the radical left have been assassinating the United States of America. Trump comes along, and he tells us everything we want to hear. He tells us everything we want to hear. What was the first thing that Donald Trump said that got your attention? I remember it because I remember very clearly what it was. He said he's going to build that wall. How many times did he say it? Every time he said, I'll build that wall, the crowds got bigger. But he said more than I'll build that wall. He also said he's going to ban the entry of Muslims into the United States of America. Did we not cheer that? Why did we cheer it? Because we're racists? No, it's because we want to live. We don't want to die. There's a story today that you have to see that I picked up coming out of Europe where an 8-year-old Iraqi boy, one of the immigrants to Europe, one of the European nations, tried to plant a bomb in a church. An 8-year-old Iraqi boy. I got to find the story for you. I think it's on my website at michaelsavage.com. I caught it this morning. I said, here we go again. Is that what you want for immigrants? Here's the story here. 12-year-old Iraqi boy tries to blow up German Christmas market. Reuters. He planted another explosive device near the town hall. Now, who brought this Muslim into Germany and destroyed Germany? Merkel, the psychotic fascist. Merkel, the psychotic fascist, who was a twin sister for Hillary Clinton, brought that Iraqi boy into Germany. Germany is now a no-go zone. Sweden is a no-go zone. Every nation that's been invaded by Muslims, by these liberal psychotics, have become no-go zones. So, we looked at Europe, those of us who are able to look at these things, and we see the corruption of liberalism. We see the corruption and the suicidal behavior of liberals in Germany, or in Sweden, or in France, and we say, no, not here. And then along comes a man who says, no, not here. I will prevent Muslims from coming in. And what happens? He's called every name under the sun. But he didn't buckle, did he? He had not buckled, so we voted for him. Isn't that correct? Well, let's see if we get that wall and he bans Muslims from these terror countries. Okay? Because those are the two major reasons we voted for him. As well as the economy, stupid. I said, and many of you agreed, that we need a businessman to run the country. I said for 3 or 4 books in a row, we need to run America more like a business. Of course, we can't run a nation only like a business, because businesses are ruthless. Businesses are heartless. Businesses have no feelings. If America was truly run like a business, the poor would starve to death and the crippled would die in the snow. So we can have a nation run like a business. Corporations are heartless, by and large. They could care less about the next man's welfare. That's the truth of the matter. So no, we can't have a nation run like a business. It can be run a little more business-like, but that's not like running a nation exactly like a business. Well, I pointed all of this out in Scorched Earth because it's a reasonable book written by a reasonable man. And as I said to you, this was a somewhat prophetic book. I told you over and over again that after the 8 divisive years of Barack Obama, there was an irrefutable case of our nation having been undermined by terrorists from within, terrorists from without, anarchists within, a president and politicians with contempt for the Constitution and the law, and by a complicit liberal media. Every one of those words resonated with you. Every one of those words was magnified by candidate Trump, because he had very bright people who would listen to talk radio, especially this show on WABC in New York, where they're headquartered, and they took notes, and they wrote the speeches, and they gave him the speeches, and thank God I finally found the man who expressed what I believe in, and I'm glad he won. I will always be grateful that he won. I have no complaints whatsoever. However, we must be very cautious, because we see that politics corrupts. We see that politics corrupts absolutely. And we see that the evil Republican National Committee has virtually hijacked the Trump administration from the get-go. They have put let me say this, by putting Rince Priebus into the inner circle, which looks to me like a deal that was done last April or so in order to let Trump win at all. They probably were going to fight him. They told him they wouldn't let him win no matter what he did. He had to work a deal out with them. And the deal was they'd let this Rinso come in, like the operative that he is, and represent the RNC in all the dealings, and pick all of the appointments by and large. He'd get this, he'd get this, they get that. And so what we're seeing now is the fallout of that horrible deal with the RNC. And many of us understand this. And I feel that I'm obligated to say to you right now, if we don't stand up now, we're going to lose everything within 6 months. The Republicans will take back everything that we voted for unless we vociferously stand up to them from now. And I did so, by the way, as of November 14th, I wrote that article on Rinso hijacking the Trump campaign. I know I paid a price for it. I know very well what happened. This is no joke to me. But I am very happy that I helped elect Donald Trump, and I will continue to support Donald Trump. What I will not do is support the evildoers in the Republican Party, most especially Mitch McConnell, who is the most backstabbing SOB this party has ever seen. Mitch McConnell did this to us in 2012 along with John Boehner. McConnell and Boehner, they rode into power because we put them back in power. And a day after they came to power, they stabbed us in the back. Exactly what they're doing now that Donald Trump has won. It's all in Scorched Earth. The subtitle is very important. Restoring the country after Obama. Have we restored the country after Obama? No, we've done nothing yet. He's not president yet. The wall hasn't been started. The ban on Muslims hasn't been started. The business aspects of the government haven't been created. So far as I know, not one government bureaucrat has been fired. So far as I know, not one department will be eliminated. So our job is enormous for 2017. It is bigger than it was before the election. Do you understand me? See, I saved the best for the last hour. What I'm saying to you right now is almost like MacArthur's last words saying, I shall return. Because I'm going away on vacation, as I said to you, for 2 straight weeks. Unless there's a big event, I'll come back on. But I'll be away. I have studios where I'm going. The point is that our battle has just begun. Don't become complacent and settle back and say, oh, Trump won, now I can relax. Because as you sleep, every minute you sleep, the creeping nightmare of the Republican Party takes over more and more territory of the Trump administration.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. The monologue that I just gave you on how the battle has just begun, stopping the RNC from hijacking the Trump victory, will be the theme of my entire show for January 2017. And I want to conclude this segment by reading the last two paragraphs of Scorched Earth, because you are them. I wrote, you are hearing loud outcries against Donald Trump and the rising forcefulettes. You're hearing them described as bigots, racist, anti-women, anti-Semites, and homophobic. But those voices will eventually dim. The shouters will be reduced to the margins, to the marginal characters that they've always been. They'll be put back into the boxes they came from. How do I know this? Because the Eddies will come to our defense one more time. They will stand shoulder to shoulder to honor the legacy of those who built this nation, who fought its wars, who bowed in prayer in a rich variety of faiths, and who raised the families that are the backbone of America. And when they do, I can guarantee you that this nation, that this world, will be a safer place, even for the lunatic fringe. Those are the last words of the prophetic book, Scorched Earth. I will call it a prophetic book because you won't, and it is. And it's the book that got Trump elected. And it's the book that has to keep Trump's feet to the fire. It's not that he's a bad man or that he lied to you. It's that he's being pulled radically to the left by Rinsil Priebus, who represents the interest that we voted against, in plain English. There's no other way to put it. Did we vote to have Rince Priebus as the chief of staff? You would have laughed at that idea. Did you vote to have Mitch McConnell again dictating how this government should be run? You would have laughed at that idea. You knew he was a backstabber and a phony. He's the guy with the gullet from Kentucky, who the minute he got the coal thing he wanted, he immediately became Obama's best friend, if you remember. So, in other words, he's a classic politician, McConnell. He is now running the show to a great extent. I'm afraid to tell you the truth. Now, I have to conclude in another way. I am an immigrant son. And as an immigrant son, I think every day about immigrants. I think about the refugee crisis. And I have to ask myself every day, they are people. Why do I oppose relocating 100,000 Syrian refugees into this nation? And I have to say that the embarrassing answer is that people will always compare the situation to the Jews in the Holocaust. And that is the underlying motif of the entire liberal establishment. The emotional substratum of this entire argument is based upon the Jews in Nazi Germany. And it's a false argument. It's a false one on many levels. And I'm sure you can figure out why it's false and why the narrative was being used by those who want to flood the United States with refugees for their own reasons. I pointed out on pages 116 and 17 which groups are actually flooding America with refugees. Lutheran Family Services, Catholic Charities. The fact of the matter is it is not Nazi Germany that they're running from. Many of them are running here for a better life because they can live a high on the hog and have the milk and honey without having tended to the cow and to the beehive. And I've preached for many years that ultra-tolerance is killing us, and how we have been brainwashed, and how an entire generation was brainwashed on drugs, on marijuana and other toxic compounds, with skimpy vegan and other inadequate diets, and outright brainwashing, propaganda in the government schools, where they fully believe things that are false as though they are truths, and how these children have no religion but liberalism. And I've been taught to live by the Ten Commandments of liberalism, which are, man is evil and poisoned the earth. The earth is a living organism and needs to be protected. All white people are racist. All people of color are good. All refugees should be allowed in and given whatever they request. If people make too much money, it should be taken from them. Government handouts should have no price tag. Nature should be protected at all costs, unless you don't like your gender. Burning the American flag is protected speech. All players on the international stage of equal credibility. Those are the Ten Commandments of liberalism in Scorched Earth. And so I wrote, our brainwashed, drugged youth cast their brainwashed, drugged youth votes. We have immigrants who want things for free, who are being legitimized in an illegitimate way. And I go on, and I don't want to read my own book, but I said to you, this is the dissolution of democracy itself under the guise of diversity. And I wrote that diversity is destroying democracy. Isn't that what the election was about? Did we not want a sea change in the culture in the United States of America? That's what I wanted. That's why I virtually killed myself, gave up my life for a year straight to have Donald Trump elected. I sacrificed virtually everything for this. I don't need you to say yes or he's just doing it for ratings. I don't care what you say. I know what cost it took out of me. I know what time I had to put into this thing. And I had to give my soul to get Donald Trump elected. And I can't sit here and say to you that I'm going to sit quietly by and salute everything he does when I see the RNC hijacking the Trump victory left and right. I can't do that, nor should you. There's such a thing as a good friend, just as there's a good family member who says to a family member, now look, I love you, John, but you're not doing the right thing. John, I love you and I'll support you because you're my brother, but John, you're not doing the right thing. The same thing is true in politics. You can be a good friend and a good brother to a candidate you helped elect, but it does not mean you have to lick his boots in order to be invited to a state dinner. And I'm not going to be invited to any dinner because I'm not going to lie about things. And that's what you're going to get from me in 2017. God willing, it's all up to God. The big man in the sky decides, not me. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Everyone answer this, I'll say it again because no one heard it. I haven't heard this in the media yet. Maybe it's been said or written about. I don't know. We're hearing that the election was hacked. We hear it from CNN. We hear it from the moron in the government, the morons. Then we hear it from Hillary's camp. If they hacked the election, how did she win the popular vote? Can anyone answer that? It makes no sense. Am I allowed to use common sense or logic to ask a question? No, not in America. University of Wisconsin offer a class on the problem of whiteness. Now, on the face of it, that's a racist thing to do. The goons, the left-wing goons who are doing this, to offer a class on the problem of whiteness, are by definition stone-hearted racists. But it's being offered by the university's so-called African Cultural Studies Department. And what it really means to be white and how race is experienced by white people. Critical whiteness studies, they call. Do you have any idea that this is the most racially charged, racist kind of thing you could ever imagine? And do you understand that African cultural studies have nothing to do with promoting racism in America? But this is what happens. When you put idiots into any department, they'll still be an idiot. You can still put a cap and gown on a moron and still be a moron. What, everyone belongs in college? All right, let's just move on here. But a lot of them in government don't understand how bad this is. The government's putting out all the fake news you could ever want. Fake news, fake news. Fake news gunman pleads not guilty to firing shot in pizza. Remember that story, Pizzagate, with the sex thing they made up? Unbelievable what's going on in the world. Congressman begs Electoral College voters to block Trump. That's not going to happen. Summer Redstone once gave $18 million to flight attendants. You're not interested in that. The old Sumner Redstone of CBS and Viacom once gave $18 million to a flight attendant he had intimate relations with. $18 million for one night? That's a high price, even by Russian standards. Sumner Redstone, Sammy Rothstein. You know how he started? This guy is a genius. Sammy Rothstein started in one movie theater in the Bronx. He's a genius. The guy's a genius. So what if he has a proclivity for the women? First of all, he's single. He's divorced. Number two, he's got a lot of money. So what's the difference? Why is it your business what Sammy does? What makes Sammy run is the question. Whatever. You're not interested in that. As long as I don't talk about anything esoteric like saving sharks or saving whales, you'll be happy. If I stick to the basic theme of a 14 IQ for a talk radio, which is, let's see, Democrats bad, they're all liberals, they're communists, they're all socialists, they all read Saul Alinsky. Let's see, throw in the word Marxist. Republicans are also no good right now, so they don't know who to back. I guess they just back themselves and then revert back to Thomas Jefferson. That's talk radio, that's what passes for talk radio today. Now you're happy. As long as I'm not talking about sex assault, that was one of the best shows I've done in a long time. People stop me. I don't talk to anybody, people stop me who I talk to. In fact, just this morning, someone said that caller Sarah, the forensic nurse who investigates claims of sexual assault, was a great caller. Sarah, are you listening? Sarah, are you listening? Come in, Sarah. Sarah, come in. Come in, Berlin. Berlin, come in. Fake news floor. Facebook's plan relies on mainstream media to police news. Undershirt didn't go to the meeting. Can anyone help me raise money to buy Mark Zuckerberg a proper shirt and a sport jacket? Why does he have to wear an undershirt? even in cold weather? Oh, I understand why he didn't go to New York to Trump. He didn't have a jacket. That's all. He's from the alt. Well, he wouldn't be alt right. He wouldn't be alt left. Mark Zuckerberg would be in an alt universe. Zuckerberg lives in an alternate universe. Never mind the alt left. What else do you want to talk about? U.S. demands China return stolen underwater drone. They're not returning it. Does anyone remember what happened to the drone that was picked up by Iran right at the beginning of Hussein's administration? Raise your hand if you remember. One of the first incidents that happened when Hussein became president was an unmanned, the latest model U.S. Air Force drone was delivered unscratched to the who was it who picked it up? The Russians. I think the Russians got the drone. No, the Iranians got the drone. No one knows how it got there. No one knows who sent it there. No one who knows why it was sent there. It was like delivering a brand new Lamborghini to the Iranians that no one had ever seen before with the most advanced technology. It landed without a scratch on it, and the Iranians got it. That was the first thing that was done under Hussein. Do you know that? So look, you know, we're used to this with our leaders. It's like a machine that's like lurching along like Frankenstein. It seems no matter who takes over, it's like a Frankensteinian state. Right or wrong? A week and a half after Trump made a faux pas, a diplomatic, disastrous faux pas, in my opinion, driven by a number of forces which I've described, of embarrassing China internationally, publicly, unnecessarily, China seized our underwater U.S. drone, and the boys and girls aboard our ship are asking for it back. They took time out from diversity training and recognized that there was a drone missing. Now, the Secretary of the Navy has never driven a Chris craft across Lake Superior, so far as I know, has not been heard from yet. But the drone was picked up by the Chinese Navy in a little boat, no less. They could have blown it out of the water. Yeah, there's a little story there. The U.S. Navy ship Bowditch they call it an oceanographic vessel, okay? It was a spy vessel in international waters in the South China Sea. And it happened yesterday, northwest of Subic Bay off the Philippines, as the survey ship USNS Bowditch was about to retrieve the unmanned underwater vehicle. It's a spy drone. The official took time out from diversity training and said, "The UUV was lawfully conducting a military survey in the waters off of the South China Sea." And he continued, the diversity officer, who said, "It's a sovereign immune vessel, clearly marked in English, not to be removed from the water. Oh, that it was U.S. property." U.S. naval personnel, in the midst of their diversity training, got no response from the Chinese on the radio when they announced that the drone was American property, a U.S. defense official told CNN. The Chinese later said on the radio that they were returning to their own operations. No, they're going to say something about it, right? The Chinese action heightened U.S. concerns about the country's aggressive actions in the disputed South China Sea, including its militarization of maritime outposts. The drone was part of an unclassified program to collect oceanographic data. Oh, really? Including salinity, temperature, clarity. Yeah, they were doing global warming research. I get it. The U.S. issued a formal protest through diplomatic channels and included a demand that China immediately return the drone. The Chinese have acknowledged receiving the protest but have not responded to it. The Bowditch had stopped to pick up the two underwater drones. A Chinese ship that had been shadowing the U.S. ship put a small boat into the water. That means a raft with a motor, with an engine on the back, and snatched one of the drones. By the way, if it was an international water and this was an incident, we could have blown them out of the water. But since this military is run by Barack Obama and, what's his name, Mr. Pink Tie, the shaker from Harvard? The maritime tiff made waves in the stock market. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ gave up small gains on Friday morning. Big deal. A little world tension out there. The incident comes after President-elect Donald Trump has questioned the longstanding U.S. one-China foreign policy in which formal relations are maintained with Beijing and not Taiwan. China's ambassador to the U.S., Kui Tingkai, warned Trump on Thursday that his nation's national sovereignty and territorial integrity are non-negotiable. The next day, they seize a drone. Well, my friends, the question is, here's the question to you. Do you think that Mr. Trump's faux pas in reaching out to Taiwan had anything to do with this. Don't even call me on it. Of course it did. I told you this would happen. I told you the Chinese are not going to let this go unnoticed, and they're going to react to it. I told you that. And this is a very minor incident, incidentally. And the reason he reached out to Taiwan is very clear. He was lobbied by the two-timer, Bob Dole, who's a lobbyist for Taiwan. And I don't know how many of you noticed this. I was the only one in the media to this day who noticed this. What was the first cabinet appointment that Trump made? It was Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, as transportation secretary. She happens to be Taiwanese. Now, I'm a great supporter of Taiwan and Taiwanese people, as I have been for over 20 years. But this created unnecessary world tension. It was dumb. It was stupid. It was bad negotiating. It shouldn't have been done. Nobody's advising properly on this issue. I know more about diplomatic relations than the stooges from Wall Street. Just because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a supporter of the RNC. That's all. That's simple. I didn't fit in with the Texas thing. I was one of those northern you-know-what kind of boys. Can't use the word to them. Yeah, it runs deep in that part of town. But nevertheless, all right, so I wasn't invited. For Michelle, she had a cause. It was diet. She was the queen of fries, remember? Remember she said she was the queen of fries? She couldn't resist them. So her thing was healthy food. She made your children eat garbage that no one would eat. And she ate French fries. But that was her cause. I don't know what the cause is going to be of this family. I have no, what's it going to be? Child care? That was another one I read this morning. Now I read that they're going to take on and make it government-funded child care now. Okay, the world is upside down. Let me repeat to you, those of you who don't understand the art of negotiation, what was done with Taiwan and China was absolutely a blunder, a total blunder. If you want to get tough with China over their bullying, over their currency, over their trade policies, what you do is you do it behind closed doors, because then you have some leverage, to a position to fall back from. And then you could always pull the trigger on the Taiwan statement later on. But once you pull the trigger on this Taiwan telephone call, tell me where you go from there. You go nowhere. So the next thing I do is they seize a drone. And what did we do when they seized our drone? Nothing. Obama went surfing in Hawaii. And Michelle cried that there was no hope anymore. Of course there's no hope. If you ought to give up Air Force One, Air Force Two, and you had to go find apartments for your mother-in-law and yourself, and had to pay your own bills, of course there's no hope. How could you have hope after a thing like this, after ripping off the government for 8 straight years and flying around like a queen and no one says a word to you out of fear that they'll call your names? Of course, there's no hope.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It reminds me of like guys with French cuffs, certain kind of haircut from that era. Like you got a certain haircut like from Al the Barber in Brooklyn, like a razor cut was a big deal in those days. Like if you knew a certain barber. People who travel, when I was a kid, like they travel across the city for a haircut from Al the Barber because he did razor cuts. No one did them. The problem was Al the Barber was a guy who fasted a lot. And he got a howl on him, you could die in the chair. But you wouldn't say anything because he had the razor in his hand. You know, when a guy fasts, they give off a certain aroma comes because you're breaking down the lipids. You could faint from it. But this guy, he swore by fasting. And while you're getting the razor cut, you sat there shaking for fear he'd cut your jugular vein. Because if you said one wrong word about his breath, you were dead. You were dead in the water. I'm just tuning it down slowly. You know, I'm taking it down a little slowly because it's the end of a long year. The end of a long week, the end of a long campaign, the end of a long day. And it's just fun to rap on the radio once in a while, even if it's about something as trivial as Al the Barber and the razor cuts. But that song brought back that memory, I mean, because that's what guys did in those days. Today, I don't even get a haircut at all. So I can get like a butcher cut, like at a Stalag 17, I cut my own hair. I got a clip. You know, today you don't really need a barber when you think about it. With the advent of close-up mirrors and the equipment that they have, you don't really need to go to a barber. Look like you were born on a reservation. that's not a slam in any way. But so many things have changed. The problem as you get older is the hair grows in the wrong parts of your body. Why did God design things that way? It's plagued me my whole life. Why is it as you get older, the hair doesn't grow on your head, but it grows in your nose and your ears. What is the adaptation for that one? Why would an older man need more nose hair and ear hair? I'll never understand it. What, are there more flies as you get older? Why would you lose the hair on your head and grow it in your ears and nose? It doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm a biologist by training, and I've always tried to answer questions logically. So, in other words, what's the adaptation to nose hair? Nose hair was developed in order to keep insects out of your nose, right, when you're breathing. Well, when you get older, there's more insects or what? Maybe it's because you move slower and the insect can crawl in. I don't know or in your ear. That's the most disgusting thing on old men is like ear hair. I'm glad that they have instruments to remove that stuff. But it's a very dangerous thing because the ear hair probably falls into your ear canal. You can get a disease altogether from it. They haven't figured out how to extract the hair as you can. I love some of these simple observations because I'm an observer of nature. Whether it be the nature of politics, the nature of animals, the nature of food, the nature of air, the nature of water, and the nature of hair. I'm an observer of nature. And I hope that you've enjoyed observing me as I've gone through this year. I hope that you recognize that we've all done something monumental together. We have changed the course of human events. We did something that they said could not be done. We pushed Donald Trump over the finish line. It was the slim margin of this show that did it. That is why she lost in the biggest upset victory in American political history. But as I said at the end of the last segment, this is when our work just begins. We must not permit Renzo Priebus, who represents the worst elements of the Republican Party, to steal from us that which we gained. We must not let them steal the victory that we just gained. And we must continue to express what we want to the incoming Trump administration. They're going to have a very, very rough time as it is. The left is extremely well organized. And the worst man on the planet, George Soros, is funding the worst groups in the world to block Donald Trump at every turn. And he's going to need us. And he's going to need us every day of this administration, and we're going to be there for him. That does not mean we become slaves to every turn he takes. That means, as the good friends we are, we will say, sorry, we didn't vote for universal child care. We didn't vote for universal health care. We didn't vote for the Cuban health crisis in America. And so we have a big job ahead of us in 2017, and with God's will and your listenership, I shall return.